Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is World Form Zen Fighting Champion John Chung, and you're listening to the AMAA Legends and Pioneers Radio Blog Show with Professor Gary Lee and the Sport Karate Museum Archives, protecting the history, one warrior at a time. Enjoy.
Well, aloha, everyone. It's me, the Wolverine, and Happy New Year, 2020. Just think about it. That's amazing. We're getting ready to hit another decade, and we're just going to bring the best people to you that we can bring. This is our end of the year show, and we have an amazing, amazing guest lined up. He is also a Joe Louis lineage and black belt, so I look forward to hearing his stories. But before we get into that, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to tell you that, I mean, we had this guest on, not this guest, but someone on last week. But today is actually his debut of making his appearance back to the radio show for good. And that is my teacher, the one that started the Sport Karate Museum, the one that was keeping the flame and keeping everybody's record, keeping the history before it was cool, the keeper of the flame, Professor Gary Lee, is back tonight, and we'll be co-hosting these shows together. So make sure you give him a warm welcome. I'm glad to have him back and yelling at me. And, of course, as always, it'll be a lot of interruptions and things of that nature going on. But remember, we love each other. We both have a lot to say, and we only have an hour to say it. And we have a guest. So, you see, that's how that rolls. But at this time, we'd like to bring on our producer, the guy that's made the radio show possible, the guy that's put this together, and he's very innovative and doing a lot of stuff for martial artists everywhere. And we'd like to say Happy New Year to him also, and that is Mr. Jesse Bowen. Mr. Bowen, are you there, sir?
Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing better, better, and better, as always. I am excited. I'm getting ready to step out on the town and bring the new year in right. Of course, I'll be at church, but I'm going to be, bring the new year in right. And again, you are correct. We're glad to have Professor Gary Lee coming back on. You know, we've done a lot. It's hard to believe that we're going into year number six. I mean, 6 years ago, we really started the Who's Who in the Martial Arts biography book, and we started the show. It's hard to believe that we've done all that we have done. And we've been very busy. And I want to have give a big shout out to all of our listeners. Now, I just checked the stats a few minutes ago. So over this 5-year period of time, we've had over 10,000 listeners to our broadcast. That means Professor Gary Lee, Karen, myself, the guests. So we have had such a great time. We've got 381 episodes of our radio show. And like I said, we have over 10,000. I mean, now there's a lot of listeners that have actually tuned in to our radio program. That is a lot. And I just want to say, thank you to Professor Gary Lee. Thank you to you. Here we are, 2020. We're going into the sixth book of the Martial Arts Masters and Pioneers book. Your guest, Jerry, he's in the book. This year, he's going to be coming back, celebrating those 50 years in the martial arts with us in Las Vegas. We got some other things we have going on. But we have now launched our institute. So that's the American Martial Arts Alliance Institute. We have online courses. We have so many things of certification, everything from helping people write their own books to helping them to become motivational coaches, helping them to learn how to break into the corporations and become motivational paid speakers. So we have a lot of things we're going to be sharing in 2020, and we're looking for some great martial artists that would really like to be a part of that, especially if you want to get into the broadcast like we're doing. If you would like to be a host on our radio network. That's what we're looking for. We're looking to add in 10 more shows this year. Anyone, you know, this pretty much is our martial arts station. So anyone, if you're a martial artist and you're looking to learn about podcasting, a blog radio show, then let us know, because this can help you grow your martial arts school by being a celebrity through our martial arts program. We have a whole marketing program, a marketing team to help people to become better at what they do. But I'm just really excited that we started something, and we look, here it is, 5 years, over 10,000 listeners to our program. And I'm really excited about that. It's really motivating me to continue to push for the radio show and all the positive things that we're doing in the martial arts to bring a positive sense about the martial arts to get people to become students. This is what we're about. We're not about blowing our own horn about how great we are. We're really about telling the story of how the martial arts has changed our lives. And because it has, we know that it can change the lives of others. And this is what our focus is, keeping the history alive and, you know, really enjoying. I really enjoyed myself. Hard to believe that we have gone past 5 years going into year number six. So just want to say happy new year to everyone. Everyone be blessed this year. Check out our posts online. Again, you can enroll in our goal setting course. You can enroll in that course absolutely free, and we're going to be promoting that. So, you know, go to our webpage, AMA radio broadcast page, and you can click the link, and you can actually, hey, take our course. It's free. You know, it's a course that I teach for corporations, so I think you'll really enjoy it. Really not just talking about goal setting, but really getting into the head of how we work and how do we become successful at what we do. So, sir, like I said, you know, I'm ready to hear Professor Gary Lee's voice tonight and getting him all kicked off. So I'm turning it back over to you.
All right, sir. I appreciate it, and happy new year again to you. Look forward to a long, prosperous year next year, sir. All right. At this time, I want to bring on, you know, Professor Gary Lee means a lot to me. I mean, everyone knows that the Wolverine trained with Joe Louis, and he was a big part of my life right up until his passing away. You know, there for a long time, it was just, you know, him and I. And I just, you know, it's a huge, huge loss to the martial arts world. And then Professor Gary Lee adopted me. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, he just adopted you. But we went through stuff. I even tested at the Living Legends in front of a huge board. You know, that was when they brought in Colonel Philip Torres was sitting on the board from the United States Marine Corps. So it was a very emotional time for me then. But, you know, Professor and I, we talk pretty much every day, just like me and Grandmaster did. We talk every day through my competition. The last several years of competition, you know, every competition I go to right before the competition, you know, I get a call from Professor Gary Lee, and he gives me that pep talk and you know, gets my mind set. And, you know, that's one thing that a lot of people think. A lot of people think that once they achieve a certain level, they don't need anybody else. But you always need somebody to look up to and help guide you. And as Professor Gary Lee says, jap slap you. And so it's going to be wonderful to have him back on here right now. So I want to bring on the one and only Professor Gary Lee. Are you there, sir?
Aloha, Wolverine. Happy New Year, my little brother.
Aloha. Thank you, sir.
Well, I'm so excited about being back. You know, the best way to open up the show before I introduce my very, very, very special guest, I would like to spend a moment and say thank you, Karen Eden Herman. Thank you, Jess Bowen. Thank you, Gwen Bowen. Thank you, Dean Pyle. Thank you, all the marketing people and the people who work with Jess Bowen in the office. But, you know, people who listen to our show, thank you so much, and all the listeners, thank you for believing in the history. Let me share with you, you know, we're talking about these people, but let me share with you who these people are. We'll start with Jesse Bowen, the producer of our show. He was a great, great weapons competitor that competed on the East Coast. His instructors, Dan Wallendorf, and, you know, and the people that created the Who's Doing and Karate book, you know, they basically developed an idea to show respect to people. And Hachi Jesse Bowen carried that on after his fighting career and his martial art career in tournaments. And then you've got Karen Eden Herman, who has a radio show. And she's just amazing. She's a advocate of Native American rights, a Tang Soo artist who competed in open terms and did very, very well. And she was actually a TV show host and also a weather person on a national syndicated show. And God bless, we had the God karma happen to us and gave her to us. So we're very thankful that Karen Eden Herman. And then Miss Gwen Bowen, Jesse Bowen's wife. She's a minister and pastor, and her show is very inspirational and an amazing woman. And then, of course, Dean Pyle, my adopted student, who came from Joe Lewis, a four-time world champion presently, not past, but presently, in one of the largest associations in America, NASCAR. This guy is real. I'm really going to get him back in the thing about fighting here in 2020 or 2021, because think what he's done in kata weapons, traditional kata, and the attitude of self-defense with his loving little daughter. But what he can do in fighting, he's going to blow people away. So know that these guys are on the radio show, whether it be young ladies, you know, pastors or people like Mr. Bowen and Mr. Pyle, they're experts in what they do. So we really appreciate your attitude to listen to our show. And thank you, Dean, because officially I want to make an announcement. Dean is not going nowhere. Dean has been my host of the show for the past 5 months, but now he's officially the co-host of Parts Unknown, The Last Interview. And that's what we're going to call our show weekly, every Tuesday night at 8:30 Texas time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you're on the West Coast or Las Vegas, in that area, it'd be 6:30 Eastern Standard, Pacific Time. So thank you for letting me rant and rave a little bit, and we'll go on with the show. So tonight we have a very special guest, Dean. And I can't decide where I got to call you, Dean or Wolverine. Which one do you want me to do?
Well, you can just call me Wolverine, because that's how most people know me anyway. And
okay,
you know, so that's fine.
Okay, I want to give out a big shout out to some people I know that are listening. People like Barry Harbin, and some important people: Ricky Smith, Danny McCall, Danny Lane. You know, Mr. Pennington. I mean, all these guys are incredible that have supported us in the martial arts. But I'll bring up someone that I'm a big fan of. Before I met him these past few months ago in Las Vegas, I got to know him in a very personal way. But I was a fan of his way before I got to meet him. He's actually a personal Joe Lewis student, and he was the president of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation, which we'll talk about. But Mr. Smith, are you on the line right now, sir?
Yes, I am, Gary. I'm here.
Well, Happy New Year. Happy, Happy New Year, sir.
Thank you.
Well, I can't tell you how excited that Dean Wolverine and Mr. Bowen is excited to have you on our show. And the first question I always ask anybody is, how'd you get started and who was the one that influenced you the most in your martial art career? What year did you make black belt? Three questions in one.
Okay, well, I'm a Gator baby. I'm from Louisiana, and I came out of the segregated South. And the way that I got started in martial arts was, we used to live in this place called the Bottom, and it was, you know, pretty poor neighborhood. And across this highway, literally the other side of the track that you were there, there was this athletic club, and I must have been about 9 or 10 years old, and I used to go over, stand up on garbage cans and look through the window, and they were working out, and they were doing martial arts. And I didn't really know what it was, but I knew I wanted to learn it. I was a young kid, and I was fascinated by it from even at that early age. And I remember one day after peeking through the window, I couldn't go in because it was segregated. We weren't allowed to. I went home, turned the TV on, a little black and white TV. And on the TV, there was Ed Parker, Nick Adams from Rebel Without a Cause with James Dean, and Joe Hines. And Mr. Parker was breaking some boards and doing some techniques, and I was just absolutely blown away. And in this little town that I lived in, there was just like one little Asian bookstore, and I would go there and save up my nickels and dimes, and I would buy Black Belt magazine. And it was really interesting, and that was the way that I got interested in martial arts. Later on, I was one of those silly guys, Gary, that joined the Marine Corps. I mean, loved the Marine Corps, but I joined the Marine Corps not necessarily because I was so crazy about the Marine Corps. I joined the Marine Corps because I wanted to study martial arts in Japan and on Okinawa, and I got
Wolverine,
to
get a hurrah. Wolverine, hurrah. Come on.
Oh, hey, I was going to hurrah, but I didn't want to interrupt him while he was talking, you
okay.
know.
Mm-hmm. So, well, we're all friends here. So, like,
and that actually happened for me. And I'm also lucky that I got it was probably 68, when I got to study with Grandmaster Jun Kina on Okinawa, and it was just a wonderful time. I was a kid when all the other guys at the end, being in the Marine Corps, went to the bars to hang out. I went to the dojo, and I was so young. I was just completely enthralled with it. And so that's how I got started, Gary.
Okay. Well, you know, I can't tell you guys how excited I have the Wolverine and Gary Smith, both students of one of my original history generals, Mr. Joe Lewis, who, rest in peace, he lost a few years back. But Mr. Lewis was one of the most influential sport karate guys in America and one of the original world champions. And to have two students that actually trained with him on the air at the same time, I'll tell you what, guys, I got goosebumps. I really do. Now, when did you meet Mr. Lewis, Mr. Smith?
Okay, now there's a backstory to this that I have to tell you.
Okay.
How I ended up...
Well, let me
and
ask
just
permission. Wolverine, is that okay? Can you tell us the backstory?
Oh, yeah, that's great. That makes it
okay.
Even better. Because we got to get to the bottom of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what happened?
I always ask permission. Go ahead, Gary.
What happened, guys, is I was, I got a chance to go and study, in the Orient. And Joe was about 4 years older than I, so he was there during the time when we had military advisors in Vietnam in the beginning. I got there doing Tet and the Tet offenses and the HOT when they were dropping bombs on us when we actually were at war. And what happened was I came back. I was a young – I probably weighed 100 – I was never a big guy. I probably weighed 160 – 55 or 60.
I want to tell my listeners, you look like a young Sidney Poitier, one of the famous TV actors out of California.
Anyway, what happened was I came back and I was stationed in Long Beach Naval Station in an MP, barrack. And something happened. Well, what they did is the captain of the MP barracks that I was at, Terminal Island, was a big fan of. We had a boxer who was the naval base boxing champion. He was a Marine, and the captain loved this guy because this guy knocked out all the sailors, and he was really really good. So what they had me do, they said, look, Jared, what we want you to do is teach these guys how to use their baton. You know, Okinawan karate, there's a lot of weaponry there, compas and their weapons, their staff. It's to teach these guys how not to crack guys in the head with nightsticks and break their skulls, you know, teach them where to strike. And I said, okay, I will do it. So out in front of the Marine barracks, I'm there. I'm the new guy. And this boxing champion was one of the Marines that was there. And I could tell he didn't like me very much, because he just didn't believe in what I was doing. And so what he did was, he says, well, hey, I understand all that stuff, but he says, I'm a boxer. What would you do? And I said, well, look, I'm here to teach you how to use your baton, not, you know. He goes, no. Show me what you do if I, and all the guys circled around, you know, because they knew they were going to see a fight. And I went, well, okay. So I squared off on the guy, and so it didn't end up being a big battle. What happened was I did a hip fake. He dropped his hand as if he was going to bend over and parry my foot like a boxer would parry a punch. I did a question mark kick and broke his nose. And he, you know, this is the naval base boxing champion. Well, the captain
okay,
was like,
I got freaked out. I thought he was going to talk about the Samoan. How
yeah,
go?
Yeah. Well, that led to the Samoan.
Okay.
So I broke. So the captain, after broke this guy's nose, the captain goes, Jerry, Sergeant Smith, we're gonna put you on Sergeant of the Guard. That means you get to post the guard. And there was this this big Samoan. I think his name was Sergeant Lolagi. I remember I would have never met Joe if none of this had not happened. And Sergeant Lolagi was a squared away Marine, probably weighed 270, 260, big guy. But once a year, once every other year, he would go into Long Beach and he would, you know, Long Beach Sailor Bars, the Pike. He would go in and he would tear up a couple of bars. They would bust him down, and then he would get his rank back. He wasn't a very friendly guy. And then he would get it back, and he would be okay. And then another year, he would go do it again. So I got a call, and the call was Sergeant Lolagi has torn up a bar. The gunny called me. He goes, I want you to go into Long Beach, and I want you to bring Lolagi back. No one's ever brought Lolagi back. He's every year when he'd do it, he would just rip the place up. So we got in the guard truck. We went down, and I'm going, I've heard stories about this guy. How the hell am I going to get him out of this bar? And, I weigh 155, 160 soaking wet. This guy, I get there. Long Beach PD is sitting there leaning against their cars. Eating donuts because they knew Lolagi, and they knew they didn't have to go in and get him. They knew we had to go, and the Marines, we had to go in and get him himself. So they gave me four guys. You guys go in, you know. I go, yeah. Well, how's that? I said, well, look, guys, wait a minute. Let me try something. I knew that all Marines would respond to a command voice, because we're like pretty much brainwashed in boot camp. So I walk in, Lolagi's sitting at the bar crying, and he's saying, there's nobody in the bar table, everybody's outside. He's cleared the bar. And he says, Sergeant Smith, you know, I've been in this man's Marine Corps for 17 years, and I got no wife, I got no family, I got no kids, all I got is the Corps. And he was drunk. And I remember walking up to him, and I was so nervous. And I said, Sergeant Lolagi, stand unto attention. And he snapped to. And when he snapped to, I went, I got him. This guy is, he just, responded to a command voice. I said, look what you've done. You've torn up this bar. There's people outside. You got paramedics. I said, what? I go, stand up. He stand up. And I remember taking out my handcuff, and I was getting ready to, put your hand behind your back. But I was shaking so much, I knew that he would hear the handcuff, and that I didn't want that to happen because I had him. I said, well, Loggy, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to walk out. We're going to get in the truck. I'm going to get in with you, and you're going to the brig. You do understand that you're going to the brig, don't you? And he said, yes, sir, as I do. We walked out. Everybody's waiting for this big fight. The big fight never happened. I put Lil Loggy in the truck, and we went to the brig. Everybody's waiting over at the brig to see what happened because they're used to seeing him do this. Took him in, walked him in, and they put him in a cell. Well, about 4 or 5 days later, Captain Stahl called me in his office, and he said, Sergeant Smith, come in. And I came in. He said, sit down. And he sat down. He opened up my record. He says, I'm looking at your record. He goes, your record is perfect. He says, it's almost unbelievable. I never see this kind of thing. He said, you know, I know what you did to, my boxer, and I know what you did to Lil Loggy. He said, we want to offer you something. He said, the two top jobs in this Marine barracks is brig warden and a naval investigator. And he says, brig warden, you'd be able to brig. Well, at the time, I looked like I was probably about 10 years old. I didn't really think I didn't really think I should be a brig warden. I said, sir, I don't think that the brig warden would be a good job for me. He said, well, we have to do a psychological profile. He said, but this really will help your career. I go, no. And he said, well, why wouldn't you want this job, Sergeant? I said, well, sir, I would be locked up in the brig with all these guys. And he said, you got a point, Marine. And he says, what about naval investigator? I go, well, that sounds interesting. He said, if you accept this job as naval investigator, you don't have to make any formations. You can live on the beach. And when they say live on the beach in naval terminology, it don't mean that you live on the sand. It means that you could live in the city. You don't even have to go to the base. You just go to work every day, and you get off. You wear civilian clothes. For me, it was Levi jacket and desert boots and back in those days. And so I accepted that job. And because I accepted a job and I had all this spare time, I took on a job at Tracy's Karate Studio teaching. I've pretty much lived in the studio. And that is how, if I didn't get that position, I would have never been able to meet Joe Louis, being in the Marine Corps the way that I was at the time. Well, the international was coming up. Joe was using the school to prepare. I think Bob Leonard and Tom.
Yeah, let's explain to the listeners that Joe used to train at Tracy's, and that's how you met him?
Yes. That is how I go in one day.
Team,
and they
Joe, weren't you guys on the team together?
Well, yeah. But what happened was the Tracy's asked Joe. He was like their original champion spokesman to put together a team that would fight nationally. And
was that the same team that Roger Green was on too?
Yeah. Well, I remember Bob Halliburton, J.T. Will. There was a whole group of people, a lot of big guys, I remember, was on the team as well. But what happened was, so they had Tom had told Joe that, hey, we got this young Marine, back from the Marine Corps, and he loved to fight. And back in those days, I would fight a mailbox and send it flowers the next day. I mean, I loved, I was very competitive. I didn't know how to fight competitively.
Do you remember sparring match you had with Joe?
Yeah. Oh, of course. I was used to just dragging guys out of bars and taking them to the brig. I really wasn't fighting competitively. I was just fighting. And so I see this guy, I go in, Joe's training, and I'm going, oh, my God, who is this guy? My goodness, this guy was, like, built like a professional bodybuilder. he was young, and he was and what impressed me more really about Joe is that he was brilliant. No one had ever, all my studying on Okinawa and everywhere else, no one, everything that he talked about with martial arts. What Joe taught me was to look at martial arts in a holistic way. It's not just one thing. And so I went up, being young and stupid and not knowing, I walked up and said, I knew that this guy was the world champion. I met, he was introduced, and I asked him, would he teach me? And he said, yeah, he goes, I think he was working on one of the Dean Martin movies, The Silencers, or the one of the Matt Helm movies.
Matt Helm.
Yeah. And
Matt Helm movie. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I decided to, he said, well, yeah, I'll accept you. He says, look, I'm living with up at Nathaniel Brandon's place in Laurel Canyon. He said, you come up, and he says, yeah, I'll teach a kid. And he kind of liked my fighting spirit.
Okay, now, how long did you stay with Joe all up to his passing? I know, I mean, you were his best friend, or his friend, but when did you quit training with him exactly? You guys had to travel quite a bit, didn't you?
Well, what happened was, Joe actually he loved having me for a student at his seminars, right? Well, first of all, I asked him, I said, Joe, how much are you going to charge me? He said, well, I usually charge $100 a lesson, but he was the world champion. He said, but I'm going to charge you $50. I'm going, $50 a lesson? Man, on Okinawa, you paid $5 a month, Craig, you know, like, whoa, you know. And he said, well, you come up. So I went up in Laurel Canyon to meet Joe, and people always ask me, they say, Jerry, what was the first thing that Joe taught you? Joe looked at my little scroungy body, and he looked at me, and he said, come with me. He took me into Nathaniel Brandon's kitchen, and he made me a protein drink. That was the first thing. You know, then he said, you know what? If you really want to fight, Jerry, he said, you got to start training like a professional athlete. He says, karate guys, they, you know, donuts and hot dogs, and they go, and he said, that's not really training. You got to really look at your training on a physical, mechanical, technical, and academic level. You got to do this differently. And you got to understand, no one had ever explained anything like that to me. And I remember wanting to show Joe all my katas and forms because we studied the same style on Okinawa. And he would just say,
okay,
I
got a lot to cover with you. I want to talk about right now, of course, Mr. Lewis, but you're influenced with so many people. You also worked at Blah Blah Magazine. And tell me about your duties there. Not how you got it, but what were your duties at Blah Blah Magazine?
Well, what had happened after training with Joe, Black Belt Magazine used to rate fighters regionally. And I was rated I would always place in the top three. So I was rated regionally in my weight division. I was a lightweight. And I fought, you know, fighters like Benny Urquidy. I fought all of Urquidy's brothers. And won because of what Joe gave me. And anyway, I think I had won something. This is 50 years ago. I don't remember. And they were doing a little something.
Well, I got a question. When you started working with Blah Blah Magazine, was that before the involvement with the BKF, or was that after?
Oh, yeah. It was. It was after the BKF came. Remember, Joe had the Tracys give me a school. I got out of the Marine Corps because Joe had the trade. He said, look, we got this young black belt. He's really hot. We're going to put him on the team. And they gave me a studio in Arlington, Virginia. I think Jerry Pennington had a studio in Richmond, Virginia. And we were these young guns from L.A., and we were on the East Coast. And I got to fight not only on the West Coast, but on the East Coast, too. Joan Reeves guys, Wayne Van Buren, Wayne Booth. I got the guys from the Tong Dojo in New York. I got to, with Joe, when it growing up, I got to fight on the West Coast too. But then what happened is I was winning a lot of tournaments on the East Coast.
Right, you got to meet Thomas the Puppet and Toriel Mizaki, Fred Hamilton, all those guys.
Well, I got to meet a lot of – I got to meet a lot – I was introduced to all of those guys.
Right.
And but I ended up meeting a gal and marrying a gal and coming back – and I came back to the West Coast, a girl that worked at the Pentagon and from Oklahoma. And I came back. And when I came back, I said, well, you know, man, you got to get serious. You got a wife and you got a baby on the way. You can't, so I decided to go back to school. And that is how I ended up getting a degree and eventually ended up being a college professor in Northern California. But the BKF came after I came back to the West Coast. When I came back to the West Coast, Cliff Stewart, Ron Chappelle, there were three of us, because in the old days there was a lot of black schools on the West Coast.
BKF with some of my old pioneers and friends, you think immediately about a gentleman, they called him Steve Sanders, now he goes by Steve Muhammad, because he was fighting everywhere. And what did he play in the BKF? Okay,
well,
the president. But what did he play in the Black Lives Matter?
A lot of people misunderstand the way that the BKF started. The BKF was started by myself, Cliff Stewart, and Ron Chappelle. And at the time, what we decided to do is we decided to bring Steve Saunders in, because Steve was California State champ, and had a reputation for being a great fighter. So we brought Steve in. But there were three founders, and then we brought Steve in. And at that point, one of the great things about the BKF was, in those days, there was all these black schools on the West Coast. But we would disqualify each other in the beginning. So you're fighting other guys from your own organization. So we said, why don't we start a federation, a school, and under the school we'll have all these schools, and our guys will stand a lot. In other words, if you made it to the finals, you might end up fighting someone from your own school, but you wouldn't have the first three or four rounds. You would not, which means we ended up getting a lot more guys in the final. And to us, that was a very, very big success, because we start to win everything.
Who were some of the top fighters back then besides Steve Sanders and yourself?
John Towns. There was another thing that people have to remember: the BKF was not 100% black. We had Danny Lopez.
Oh, you spanked people out, so you had biracial. You had white people.
Yeah.
And black people
of course, John Henderson.
Cool.
And our team won. Our team, to this point, our black belt team won the international.
Well, that reminds me. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember the Oreos?
I did. I don't know if I had left and went to Northern California by that time, but I did remember hearing about them. But
the
remember
two
this,
brothers
remember
and the
one
white
thing. We
guy
won.
In the middle.
but listen, we won the international black belt team championship 3 years in a row, and no one has ever did that. Not 3 years in a row.
That's pretty.
And I was the captain.
Well, listen, I'm gonna take a short break. I'm gonna bring you back, and we're gonna play the legends name game, where I'll hit you with some names, and you got about 2 minutes to talk about them. So stay on the line.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Stay on the line, please. Hey, Wolverine.
Yes.
Okay. Good. Okay. Listen, you and I have got some things coming up here this year that are pretty exciting. One, in Houston, Texas, we're doing the Cotta Wars this year, and this will be the first year that you're not only maybe competing, but you're also going to help me direct it, help me run some changes in the rules and stuff. And we'll be honoring a lot of people. This will be in September, the 25th and 26th, we'll be honoring Al Garza. But I'm really excited about you coming to Greenville, South Carolina, and honoring Sam Chapman, an ex-Marine, and speaking and giving a little shout out to Wolverine to my summit that I'm having November the 6th and 7th. Can you give me a little teaser what you're going to be talking about?
Well, you know, I haven't really decided. I mean, since it's Mr. Chapman, we may talk about, you know, tactical self-defense or, a lot of times I use the military term. I say tactical combat situations, and people that are civilians go, oh, what's combat? But, you know, it's hand-to-hand combat. If you're fighting on the street, it's the same thing.
I want to say this before we go further. You're not only a competitor that represents America in your world championships, but you also teach on the base combat techniques to Marines, correct?
Yes, we teach everybody, not just the Marines. Now, you know, it's MARSOC, the Marine Raiders, the Green Berets, the Army Rangers, the Navy SEALs. You know, everybody, because now we have one big compound here in Florida, and that's where everybody comes to train.
Well, I don't mean to give you ideas, but when you come to Greenville, I definitely want to talk about your movie, of course, but I want to talk about what you do as far as teaching the Marines and the Armed Forces, because, you know, we honor them every year. You, Colonel Torres, Jim Harrison, A.J. Perry, and some other people who are military, well, we love the Armed Forces, and we get to honor them every year at the Living Legends and the roast that we do. And this year it'll be in Houston, Texas, September 25th and 26th, and Greenville, South Carolina, at the Beaufort Hilton Hayward Hotel, November the 5th and 6th. Now, Wolverine, I want you to be ready for me next week, because we'll be talking about the cowards and your insight is creating a movie for all of us to be a part of, and also to share with your vision on bullying and working with the martial artists and giving chances to a lot of cool people who have talent in acting, but you're really putting together a group of martial artists to be in this film. But I'm going to save that for next week, because you got a whole show next week. So Wolverine, I want to ask you one more question. One more question before I get Jerry back on the air. I do the Legends Endgame. Okay. I know there's some hardcore Joe Louis fans out there. So I'm going to ask you, well, I asked you years ago, but I'm going to ask you again for the air. How bad was Joe Louis? How serious?
I mean, listen.
You trained him. You loved him. You were a student.
He was tough. You know, I tell people a lot of times, people don't realize how much time he spent training his knuckles on the Makiwara board and, you know, just conditioning his body, you know. He's the one that told me, you know, when I was very young, make your body strong and your martial arts will follow, because I was going around and I wanted to work out, but I asked him one day, I said, well, is it okay if I work out, you know, because everybody says that Chuck Norris says not to lift over 5 pounds. And that went over like a lead balloon. He died laughing, and he was like, yeah, well, we're not going to worry about that. You make your body strong, your martial arts will follow. And he was exactly right, and that's what I did, and that's how I trained. And that's how I still train. But he conditioned his body. I mean, Mr. Smith will tell you, he loved doing body conditioning drills, and he loved for you to throw that uppercut so he could tuck his body in and take that rib shot, that liver shot, that spleen shot, and just take – he loved, you know, body conditioning. And, you know, he looked at muscle as not only like a turbo boost for your fighting – because if you had good technique and then you had muscle, well, you could use your technique, then you could add some muscle to even put some more pizzazz to it. But not only that, the muscle was also like armor, because, you know, when you flex up, that muscle gets tight and it takes a hit a lot better. So he really loved being tight and getting in there, and, I mean, really being explosive. His hands and his body were like stone. I mean – I remember seeing people go to tests with him.
You understand, it's like Billy the Kid. You hear a reputation and you wonder how good he is. Well, I got two of the best black belts in the country who were students of his on the air, so that's why I had to ask that question. Well, Wolverine, okay, listen real closely. You know, we reinvented this a few years ago, you and I, so we're going to see what Jerry can do with it. Jerry, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, I'm going to ask your name. You got 2 minutes, like a fight, to say yay or nay about that person. Where you like them or you don't, or tolerate, or I don't care. You got 2 minutes because
okay.
I got a lot of people asking about. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, see, you hear the name. Tell me what you think. Bruce Lee.
Oh, I thought that Bruce Lee used to come up. You got to remember, I worked at Black Belt Magazine, so I got to see everybody who was anybody at some point that came through Black Belt Magazine. But Bruce Lee was
okay.
a genius. And he was he had a very interesting energy. I'll just put it that way. And it, whenever Bruce Lee came up to the magazine, it would turn into Bruce Lee Day. All the secretaries and the girls were hanging out at the offices. And one little Bruce Lee story
ladies then.
Yeah,
Wolverine, you got a name for him? I got another name, but I'll let you do one. Wolverine, hit him with a name.
Well, I would just say he was.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No. If Bruce Lee was.
You hit him with a name. You got him with a name, Wolverine.
But he was. He had a very, very strong personality. Let me put it that
okay.
way.
Okay. All right. What about Bill
yeah.
Wallace?
I got something for you on Bill. One of my fighters, Jimmy Cutlass, fought Bill Wallace in Vegas for the middleweight championship of the world. That's how good my fighters were. Now what made them that good is they were, you know, I was trained by the best. I had been trained by the best.
Okay, but what do you think about Bill Wallace, Gary? What do you think about Bill Wallace?
I think that Bill Wallace is really a great fighter, but he was so taken with my fighter. He, you know, at the time I was in college when I was training Ecolas to fight Wallace, and I get a call from Bill Wallace, and he's like questioning me, you know, about my fighter, and I'm going like, yeah, you know, you're not. So I called Joe and go, man, I get a call from Bill, and Joe told me, Jerry, he goes, I love messing with Joe's mind, and he goes, he's messing with Bill's mind. And I told him that your guy was a killer, and that, you know, that he was training, that he trained me, and I trained the guy, and he's going to have the fight of his life. And and you got to remember, one of my fighters, John Towns, one of the great, great fighters that I trained, beat Bill Wallace when Bill Wallace was undefeated. One of my
okay.
fighters beat Bill Wallace when Bill was undefeated.
Okay, we only got 2 minutes. Let me see with another guy, Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris was probably one of the nicest guys that I've ever met in my life. And the way that I met Chuck was I was in the Marine Corps and I was coming up to L.A. for a tournament at Trey Tech at one of the schools. And we were both late and we're rushing. I got off the bus, I'm running, and this guy pulls up in this beautiful car. I forgot what kind of car it was, but everybody, tournament's going on. And I go, hi. And he goes, hi. And I go, you're Chuck Norris. He goes, yeah, this is where you met. And he goes, look. He goes, I just sold one of my schools. And he goes, I've got this new car. And he was showing me this convertible car that he had. And the neatest thing about the car that Chuck was showing me was that he could shave in the car. That was the big technology. He said, look. I can just plug this
okay.
into the driver.
I got another one for you. How about Casey Jones? The great Casey Jones. A lot of people don't know of us here on the West Coast, but Casey Jones was instrumental. But you tell me your relationship with what he is.
Well, I think there might be a couple of Casey Jones. The Casey Jones in the BKF is one of the guys who run the BKF.
I'm hoping Casey Jones to help me with World Block Ball back in the day.
Well, that's probably. Yeah, well, that Casey Jones I'm not that familiar with, but. We also have a Casey Jones.
The same one.
Yeah, who's
okay. How about Cecil People?
Oh, I love. Are you kidding me? Cecil trained with
him.
I always give Cecil a hard time because when Cecil, you know, in martial arts, there are guys who, when they were green belt, they were really brown belt, and when they were brown belt, they were really black belt. Cecil was always a level above what he was wearing. And no disrespect or anything. He was just that good. He was
okay,
fantastic.
I got one more for you. A good friend of ours that we lost a few years back, but could have been up there with Joe Louis, Bill Wallace, and Jeff Smith, but Isaiah DeWittis did it instead. But Howard hurt his knee. Did you have a relationship with Howard? Howard
Johnson? Oh, my goodness. Are you kidding me?
I know, but I just don't know.
Oh, yeah, he was probably the most explosive, amazing, heavy hand. He used to teach for Chuck Norris, and Chuck Norris had this beautiful studio on Wilshire Boulevard.
Chuck's bodyguard.
Joe and Howard and myself used to go after hours on the weekends to that studio, and I'd bring a couple of guys, and we would work out, and Howard would hit me on the arm, and it would hurt all the way down to my elbow. What have you got in your hand? He was like one of the
hardest. Like he was hit by the Wolverine. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
hey, well, I got one more for you. Okay, John Nativadad, another teammate of Chuck Norris. Didn't Chuck, but you had a relationship with him too.
I love this man. I absolutely love this man. It's so funny. Back in the day, when we were fighting each other's team, we just kind of stare at each other. You know, we kind of tear at each other, and because you would never ever get very close to a competitor, another guy from another organization, but you would always recognize them and appreciate them. But years
now,
later,
recently, you and I went to Las Vegas and we honored John. So you did something very special. You gave me something very special that you owned and that you've had for many years. I want you to explain to my listeners and to my dear student Wolverine what you did for the museum, Fort Clyde Museum. You donated something from your heart. What was it?
Well, for the Karate Museum, I gave. This is a two-part little thing here. So there was something we gave John Nativadad, and there was something that we gave to the Karate Museum. So the Sports Karate Museum, I gave the black belt that Joe gave me years ago. It's just a little rag now. As a matter of fact, when Joe gave me the belt, I was so skinny I had to cut the belt to make it fit around me one time. And you have the belt, so you know what it looks like. It just looks like somebody drug it behind a truck or something. But
my son's belt, white thread.
Yeah. Since then, I've been given many belts, you know, grandmaster belts. But that was the only belt that I ever wore, Kerry. And
How do you enjoy Las Vegas?
I love Las Vegas. We have a martial arts family here with John and also John Conkren, who you know. Oh, by the way, this is something that people may not have known. This is for your, you know, for your Did You Know file. Did you know that John Conkren and myself were the first two black belts to work at Black Belt Magazine? And John started a week before me, so he was the first black belt to work there. I was just
did something in Vegas here a couple weeks ago. How did you enjoy the Las Vegas event that honored the Fort Clyde Museum and a lot of your friends?
Oh my goodness! I loved it so much because I got a chance to meet so many of martial artists that I've followed their careers. Ron Marchini was there, and he had followed my career, and I had followed his. And he asked me. He said, you know, Joe used to talk about it. Because Joe would work out. He would go to the Nishiyama guys. He would go to wherever the best fighters were. He would seek them out. And he would train, and so he always told me about Ron Marchini. I knew of him, I'd never met him. And I got to say to him, I said, well, Ron, you know, I said, I didn't get to fight you. And I said, if I had to, I would have. I said, but I really wouldn't have been looking forward to it.
I'm going to interrupt you. You know what I love about you? You know, we had a Hawaiian atmosphere because John was thinking that, but you wore your Marine hat. I love that, what you did. I think that's classy to me. Yeah,
well,
that to me was very classy. I want you to know that this has been exciting. So I want to ask you, and then I'm going to ask Wolverine. First, I'm going to ask you, how do people get in touch with you if they want to get in touch with Jerry Smith in Las Vegas.
If they want to get in and test the Jerry Smith in Las Vegas, all they have to do is go on the internet and go on Facebook. You know, type in Jerry Smith and just about, or go to Wikipedia. And there's more than enough information. After being around for as many years as I have, they won't have any trouble finding me.
Very good. Now, you're now also official history general of the Sport Climbing Museum, and you know the three requirements are very simple. One, you got to have 30 years of sport karate and you're about what you do, of course. And you got, and the Sport Karate Museum has to know that history. And two, you can't, you have to be asked. You know, you just can't become one. And three, is not to be solicited where you pay for this privilege, because this is certainly an honor to have you a part of it. And I'm going to ask you bluntly, like I ask everybody, now that you're a history journal, what do you feel is the best thing we can do for sport karate besides teach people where we came from?
I think you should, what I think you should do is continue to do what you're doing. I don't think I've ever had, you know, I've been to a couple of these award dinners that they, you know, that they have, but I don't think I've ever had such a wonderful time. And, you know, I mean, it was just so much love in that place and so many martial artists that from the East Coast that maybe I hadn't got a chance to meet that were there. It was just the best. It was just the very best. All you can do is continue to do what you're doing and it will pay off, you know.
Well, I thank you for the compliment, but like I said, now that you're a history general, I'm going to depend on you a lot for your mentorship and your attitude toward what you can help me make it better. That's what I need. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, I've got incredible people behind me. Wolverine, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Tell my listeners how they want to get in touch with you if they want to come to. Is it Walden Beach? Fort Walden Beach, correct?
Yes, they can come to Fort Walden Beach. They can look us up.
You, how would they get in contact with you?
They can look us up on Facebook at Elite Combat Martial Arts, and they can see us there, or they can go to our website, which is Team PVT, or just PVT-EC or ECMA-PVT, and they'll see our website and they can come out. We'd be glad to help them out any way they can. Our phone number is 850-368-1552.
Well, I know a couple of listeners are going to be calling you here because, you know, I've got the letters for the Christmas contest, and you've given away a couple of private lessons, so God bless you for that. And if people want to contact the museum, just go to www.sportkaratemuseumarchive.com, or you can call me at 713-483-0476. Now, next week we'll be talking to the Wolverine and some people about the movie The Coward, which Wolverine is working and helping put together on the screen. But, you know, that's next week. But right now, I would like to say Happy New Year to everybody and a big, big Happy New Year to my special guest tonight who made my opening comeback so special. This is Jerry Smith. Excuse me. Professor
Jerry
Smith.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate talking to you and the Wolverine. And it's so funny. I have to say this one little thing to the Wolverine. When you talked about the way that Joe trained his body, you know, it was funny because when you know, coming back from Joe sent Jeff Smith to me to train with me. That's how, you know, much he respected what he taught me because I was teaching. But you know, because if you are going to fight competitively, you're not going to be doing downward blocks and upward blocks. That's
no.
Self-defense. That has nothing to do with actual fighting. And when you talked about how he taught me how to pull those hands, arms in, to those elbows in, to guard the body and punt, you brought back such memories when I heard you talking about that. I just wanted to know.
Jerry, maybe between the two of us, we can get the Wolverine back in the ring this year in 2020 and throw some fear into the people. That'd be good. Okay.
The only problem is dialing it down for point fighting.
Well, given that you're getting pushed by Jerry Smith and Professor Gary Lee. So anyway, listen, everybody, Happy New Year to everybody. Thank you, Jesse Bowen, and everybody from the AMAA Masters Radio blog, and next week with the Cowards. And to all our friends in the BKF and the people who support Jerry Smith that listen to us tonight, thank you so much for the word that Fort Claudia is alive. And our job is very simple. We protect the history one warrior at a time. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next Tuesday night, everybody. Aloha.
Yep.
Happy New Year,
God
Jerry.
Bless
Happy
America.
New Year, Wolverine.
Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year, sir.
Pleasure talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
Okay.
And as I always
Aloha,
say, people,
everybody.
Keep your kicks up, stay strong, and God bless America.
God bless America, Wolverine. I'm going to really enjoy working with you. You know that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, God bless you guys. I'll see you next year in 2020. All right, stay tuned. Aloha.
Yes, sir. Aloha. Good
bye
night.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye, guys.
Bluetooth is connecting. Power off.
Yeah. Well, it was frustrating because, you know, he came on there. Part of the thing that they started off with was the fact that, you know, he was the president of BKF. And there was a whole huge amount of story there that they totally sidetracked when Gary Lee kept interrupting and kept redirecting Jerry all over the place.